I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We are in our, I guess not usual Friday spot, but it is a consistent Friday spot for us. And it's the warehouse here in Salt Lake City, 1825 South, 300 West. Come in. Hey, come sit on the couch with us. I don't mind. You, Scott?
Not at all. There's plenty of room.
Sit between us.
Yeah.
We picked the big – we did pick the
big – If you talk halfway intelligent, we'll put you on the air.
Watch people start streaming in. I got a couple things to say. Why not? I was going to ask you, Scott, and I'm going to put it on Matt as well, Matt Biamonte from KSL Sports, Cougar Sports Saturday, joining us on the program here. By the way, by way of announcement, the Salt Lake Shredder, Utah's newest professional ultimate frisbee team, has got their home opener tonight at Zions Bank Stadium. So – look, this is an adrenaline rush. $15 at the gate, or go to saltlakeshred.com. They play there at the Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, so don't miss the action. Saltlakeshred.com. I was putting this out there hypothetically. Let's throw a poll up, Jer. What do you say? Well, I want to know what the whiniest group of whiniest whiners are in sports, because I just so happen to watch some NBA. I mean, I've been watching a lot of NBA playoffs, and last night I really had the thought that they have eclipsed soccer players with the flopping. And then I thought about in football, there's not really that many whiners. And then I went, oh, wait, wide receivers. They're pretty whiny.
No.
You don't think they're whiny?
No.
Who's the one? Okay.
The reason the NBA is so whiny is it's got all these European players now.
Okay, see?
And they grow up
they've assimilated with the soccer.
They go, that's just how we do it. That's how we roll.
So is just soccer the reigning champion of all-time whiniest whiners? But now crack it down because –
I actually think Luka Doncic is the whiniest whiner.
His face is hard to – it's hard to look at.
Every time he shoots the basketball, he raises his arms like, where's the foul?
Right.
Every time.
Matt, your thoughts on a group or position in sports that is the whiniest of all whiniest whiners?
It's the NBA, guys. And Scott, I'm with you 100%. I cannot stand watching Luka. He's talented. There's no doubt about it. But he'll make a shot and he'll put his arms – and he makes that – it looks like the bitter beer face from the old Monsters commercials.
Right.
And it's just so – it gets under your skin. I hate it.
No, you know what it's turned into, too? It looks like the filter that people have been using on Snapchat and on Instagram, the, like, automatic crying face that, like, when you hold it up and it makes you look all pouty and crying. That's what Luka's face looks like all the time. So,
well, here's the sad thing with Luka. He's young.
I know. We've got so many. He's 23.
Years and years.
We've got a lot of years. And it's and what we've learned about these whiners, like LeBron, LeBron's face is hard to – when he's whining, it's hard to take. And the same thing, like Chris Paul, he has an all-time classic whiny face, right? James Harden is like robotic looking, but he's a flopper and a whiner, so there's that. But I was just thinking, is it just basketball? Basketball is kind of the leader in the clubhouse currently, because in soccer they've cut down a lot on the flopping, and they review so much stuff now that guys just don't go nearly the lengths of that they used to get a call, things like that. So I'm watching it last night, and I'm seeing guys, and at this point you can't even tell who's faking an injury, who's faking, you know, getting a hit on the arm. Every call that goes against Luka Doncic, like, he has something to say about it. The sarcastic thumbs up to the ref, the whatever. I mean, it's just there's always something to say about it. So there's the position.
You know what I want to see, though? I want Dallas to win, and then I want to see him and Draymond Green get into it in the next round. How great would that be?
You know what?
Green's
actually
freaking out on him. He's
I don't hate
complaining
that.
At the store.
I don't hate that, because, you know, if there's going to be somebody who's going to speak out against a superstar and say whatever he wants, it's Draymond Green. And yep. When it gets to the playoffs, if it gets to the Western Conference Finals, stakes are higher, and the whining gets amped up, and the whining about other people's whining gets ramped up.
But
so.
It's also that, like, gamesmanship, you know, like, see if I can get in his head
right
before the game or during the game, or those players are masterful at trying to get an opponent, like, aggravated.
Oh, for sure.
And
Absolutely. That
would be even the two of them together, but just to see how they try.
But
to,
like half of your
manipulate each
half
other.
Of your Lakers roster is an offensive, like just a huge whining group.
Don't get me started Westbrook on it. And I'm hoping. Oh yes, Westbrook is at the top of that list. I'm hoping they just blow it up. But their coaching search is getting comical now, right? Like, remember when we talked about Quinn Snyder being rumored? I was like, that's never going to happen. Why would he go to that dump? Now they're going after people who have losing records. Kenny Atkinson from Golden State. And it is a dump down
it's
in
just
LA.
guys who can get pushed around. At this point, they're just looking for guys who can be a placeholder that they can sign a 3-year contract with that'll be gone after one or 2 years. Can they put up with LeBron for 5 minutes? And that's all. That's the new prerequisite. It's just how much of a
for Kyrie, and they just won't have a coach, and Kyrie will do it.
What if you just brought back Phil Jackson?
Hey, he's thinking about it. He wants to get back into the game.
I mean, he's a consultant.
That went so well for him the last time some bad Dallas Mavericks team swept him out of existence.
No problem.
When you're going to like an 80-year-old guy to give you advice, things aren't good.
Why are you making fun of Phil's age?
Phil Jackson's won 11 championships.
Is it just 11?
Dude.
12 rings. I thought that was the name of his book.
There's nothing about the NBA today that has any semblance with what happened in the 90s and early 2000s.
That's
nothing.
True.
They're totally
That's
different
true.
Games.
Let's bring it back. Let's run it back.
Yeah, so Phil Jackson would just be irrelevant.
Just let's see if we can bring it back. Okay, Matt, let's talk to you about some BYU stuff. Utah State and BYU dropping their series. Is that a bummer for you, or is it just a business transaction, as we've seen a lot of people kind of treat it in the last couple of days?
It's not a bummer, and I don't want this to be a shot at Utah State because it's not. It's just something I've really come to enjoy about independent football is the ability to play all these different teams and all these different locations. And now that you're in a conference, you're not going to have the ability to do that except for 3 or 4 games in the non-conference. And I want BYU, and they're doing this in a way that they have decided which games to keep and which ones to cancel. They've kept it Arkansas. They're keeping it Tennessee. They're keeping these really fun, interesting games, Miami. And those are the games I want to have on the non-conference schedule. And all 3 or 4 of them aren't going to be of that caliber, but I want them to travel around and still play games from coast to coast in the non-conference rather than just stay in the state of Utah, maybe SUU, Utah State, occasionally Utah, and then get into the Big 12. I don't want to see that. I still want there to be really fun, interesting non-conference matchups with different conferences coast to coast. And I think that's going to be the approach going forward. And unfortunately, that means Boise State. That's not going to happen very often. Utah State. That's not going to happen very often. And I'm okay with that. And that's not to be disrespectful to Utah State, because Utah State's been a really good game since BYU went independent. But unfortunately, you know, it's just the cost of going to a power conference, and it is what it is, but it doesn't bother me that they're moving away from that game on a yearly basis.
Well, you talk about going from coast to coast. I mean, the Big 12 is from coast to coast almost now.
Good point.
And, you know, I think it would be hard to have that schedule loaded with some tough non-conference games if you're trying to get into the college football playoffs. Now maybe you have to have the marquee win, but you're still in a really good conference, and it just seems to me that you look at a lot of these even really good schools. I mean, Alabama's schedule next year is not a hard schedule, and it's not a sexy schedule either as far as its non-conference goes. So I just wonder if maybe considering that, and maybe it doesn't have to be an in-state thing, but still having maybe some of these easier out of conference opponents.
But I still think it's an opportunity, though, to play some different teams, even if they come to Utah, they're not Power Five, to keep it light. That would still be kind of fun and interesting rather than doing the same old thing year after year, because you could have Air Force coming to town. You could have San Diego State, which they've done recently. Wyoming's happening this year. So, you know, I'd rather mix a couple of those different type of opponents in rather than keep Utah State, Boise State, and just retread between those same teams over and over again. So Utah State has become – they're in the position that BYU was in for most of the independent era, where they're good enough that it's not just a free win. It's not like over the past 10 years, every time BYU's played Utah State, by and large, it's been a close game, and Utah State's won a handful of them. And their quality, their program quality also kind of makes it hard, because you don't get, if you beat Utah State, no one looks at that and says, that's a great win. And if you lose to Utah State, you know, you say, that's a good team, but not a great loss. And so it's just hard. Yeah. If Utah State were bad, it'd be a lot easier to keep the game on the schedule, because you can stay in state and get a win, but they're not bad. And I think that makes it a lot harder from a Power Five perspective. As you know, Scott, I'm sure you felt this way about BYU for the past 10 years, right?
Oh, come on. Scott is
about having BYU as an opponent?
Well, no, just about, hey, we've got to make tough decisions when it comes to scheduling.
Oh, no, there was a concerted effort to make BYU irrelevant at Utah. That I'm not joking.
That's true.
That's a true statement.
Well, and I think that a lot of
so
things,
it's just like, let's not play them. Let's just kind of ignore the
right
in there.
This one has less to do with trying to like make Utah State look goofy or anything. It just is a function of the scheduling and I guess making it a little bit easier. If you can if you have an easy breakup with some of these teams, then I guess you feel okay making it with Utah State. I get a little bit bummed out thinking, okay, the compromise is you'll never put Utah State on the docket, but you'll always have a Utah Tech or a Southern Utah or maybe a Weber State or whatever. I don't like replacing it and putting an FCS team in there and feeling okay about it.
I don't like it either, but that's college football.
And why?
Until we start getting – dude, ask the SEC why. If the SEC will stop doing that crap and play some better freaking non-conference games, then maybe that would trickle down to all these other schools. But unfortunately, college football – it's not like college basketball, where college basketball – you get rewarded for playing great games in the non-conference. It's okay if you don't win. It doesn't hurt your ability to get a good seed. In college football, you play these good games and you lose. It's like, okay, well, you better win out. You better go 11-1.
Right.
And just everything points back to, if we can just expand the freaking college football playoff, then we can play better games in the non-conference, because it's okay to lose. You can still get to the college football playoff if you lose. So, there's so many things that are broken in college football, but I'm with you. I hate it. I'd love to play a non-conference of Utah State, Boise State, Utah, and maybe, I don't know, Tennessee. That'd be awesome. But you can't do it, because you lose one game, especially in the Big 12. You lose one game. You're not going to the playoff if you have a loss. So you're asking to never get rewarded at the end of the year, and you just can't afford to do that, unfortunately, right now in the system that we're in.
So I'm confused. I thought Utah State was a rivalry game for BYU. This was a big rival. It's a game that's really important, that we like to have this rivalry. And now it's like, well, this was just a team that was like important to us when we were independent. Because I'm getting two stories here. I just want to know, which one is it?
It's a hybrid of both. So here's the thing, Scott. It is a rivalry game, but of course it's not the most important rivalry game. I think Utah State has been a great partner from a scheduling and business perspective, where they often play on general conference weekend and they play it during the week, and so that's been really accommodating to BYU. And I know that BYU has
they haven't played
that
on Sunday.
No, it's very nice of them to not play on Sunday. Yeah, it's very good of them.
Just to say, hey, we want to play on this specific weekend. We want to play on a Thursday or Friday in most cases. You know, so that's what I'm saying. There's the respect, but it's the rivalry.
So it's not
game.
Really it's a rivalry.
No. It's a little R rivalry. Yeah, it's like the
– yes.
It's not a capital R rivalry. It's not bold letters rivalry. It's lowercase R rivalry. So, Matt, as you guys get ready for Cougar Sports Saturday, what are you guys going to be chatting about this weekend?
We'll kind of break this down and talk about more in depth, just scheduling. What does BYU do? What does this mean? Is Big 12 maybe tipping their cap to a 9-game conference schedule? And then we got a couple football players, Mason Wake, Kingsley Suamataia, they're coming on. And we'll talk about the transfer portal too. That Antoine Davis story was crazy, wasn't it?
Wild. It was like so weird. And the way that it ended was just as weird as the way it started up. So, I mean, it's not like – I think BYU fans were kind of going, okay, interesting, cool, fine. But, you know, I do think that the thing that you take out of this is that Mark Pope can kind of talk to anybody. I mean, like, he can chat with anybody. He has no problem telling somebody, anyone can play here at BYU for 1 year. Do you want to come do it? Look at our facilities. You can come do this. And there are NIL possibilities in there, all those things. And so it's intriguing. But it's a very Mark Pope move, I think. It shows you just, like, the reach and influence he has to kind of reach out to anybody and talk to anyone.
But I'm also glad they didn't get him, because you just can't build the best locker room in America with a personality like that, in my opinion. He's out to get an NIL deal with Glow Balls. I mean,
hey,
I don't see how that fits into building a good team culture in the locker room just all about getting NIL deals. That's just me.
Rudy Williams didn't mention NIL at all. He came to BYU to ball and to get better. There was no mention of Glow Balls and sponsorships.
Yeah. But maybe you should start doing that. I mean, so it's 2022, man. Let's get the money flowing. Let's get these players in.
Glow Balls is where it's at.
Hey, I know I've played a lot of basketball games in the dark in my day. You got to make the rims glow. That's a problem. You got to make the glow rim now. So that's how you got to make it work. All right, Matt.
Baby steps, okay? Yeah, baby steps.
We got the glow ball. Now we're just working on, I guess it's a ball for people who don't have lighting. So it's just like, it's perfect. If you don't have any lighting, if you don't have a rim that lights up, then you'll be fine. Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can read his byline periodically there, too, at KSL Sports, one of our BYU insiders. Matt, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, hey, before I go, I'm up in your neck of the woods, Seattle. Where should I get food?
Oh, so Dick's Drive-In is kind of the classic there. It's been there for decades and decades and decades. Very kind of in-and-out style, but really good. And they're all over the place. And so if you're like in Seattle, there's five or six around the city there.
You're going to send him to Seattle and give him a burger?
Okay.
I had seafood for lunch. All right. I already checked that off. So,
yeah, everybody goes and they do the Ivers thing and whatever. But, I mean, in the end, there are so many dang good places and I can't keep up with it anymore. So it's just the way it is. You can go to Annie's Cafe and get the 12-egg omelet. Do that 12-egg omelet challenge. See if we can figure that out. So,
all right.
We appreciate it. Have fun up there. Have fun up in the old Pacific Northwest, and we'll chat with you again. There's Matt Biamonte. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got our market update. We've got to also get to a weekend. What are the odds? You don't want to miss any of that. We're here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. We'll come back. We'll also be able to hear from Tom Curl coming up next. Our first time with Tom this weekend. So stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.